How do you make money with your... Oh, let me try it with the mic. How do you make money with your podcast in South Africa? That's the question we're going to answer today, at least partly, because there are a few different ways to make money with a podcast. But today we're talking about advertising. So to do that, we're at the Urban Edge Church in Pinehurst in Cape Town. We are being hosted by Diego Domingo, our head of member affairs, and his team. So thank you very much to them for putting us in this fantastic studio here. And I've got a bit of a script here because this is my first video interview, so I'm going to have this as a reference here. So worth noting as well that Diego's team here at Urban Edge offers special rates for recording, editing, and social media for SAPG members. So that's the plug. So carrying on. When most people think about making money with a podcast, the references in their heads are YouTube, TV, radio, right? So selling ads. That is a major part of it. And it basically, podcast monetization breaks into two main streams, right? Which is making money with ads, so selling the attention of your audience to someone, or everything else. And everything else is subscriptions, enhanced content, Patreon, merchandising, live events, anything you can really think of. There's lots of different ways to do it. But today, we're going to talk about putting ads in your show and then earning revenue off that. So it doesn't work for everyone. In general, the bigger the audience, the better when it comes to ads. And that's certainly true of TV, which has got a very low engagement rate, but very high, large audience. So advertising works best for shows that can have a big audience, but there are definitely exceptions. Today, we're going to start with the podcast landscape in South Africa. Then we're going to talk about the numbers, average listeners, what do I need to do to earn a living from podcasting. We're going to get some advice on what you can do with the data that you do have access to, and then how can you use the results that you're getting to guide further content creation. This is a very important episode for us, for how to make a podcast in South Africa. I would say that 80 to 90% of the new members who join, in the form, they tick that little box that says, I would like to monetize. So I think there will be an element of tough love in this episode when it comes to the realities of how big an audience you need to make money with advertising. But I think it'll at least help you set your sights on something and set some goals, which is great. So our guest today is Francois Retief, the Chief Operating Officer of Iona.fm, which is a homegrown South African podcast hosting company. Iona hosts every kind of digital audio show from online radio, but also podcasts. And I believe in their stable, they have around 2,500 podcasts. So that is an enormous treasure trove of data and analytics that Francois has access to. And although obviously he can't share certain specifics of, you know, which clients are getting what kind of listens and certain NDA stuff, he can aggregate and anonymize that data for us and give us great ideas of where we are now as a landscape, as an industry, and where you are specifically in your podcasting journey. So, Francois, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here. I have to say, this is the first time we're doing a video. I was wondering whether so that everybody can see what a splendid beard you have.
I quickly ran to the barber this morning because it was a little bit out of control. And I was
Definitely. I'm 195, but I'm coming up short in this one.
So that was literally my first question in the original script was like, why are you so tall? But I think that might be a summer squares thing. Right. So to start off, I want to open up with Iona.fm, right? So what is it that you guys do? What kind of data do you have access to? What's your mission in the South African industry?
Iona is the largest podcasting and streaming platform that's developed in Africa. We founded in Cape Town in 2018, and we wanted to give radio stations, but also audio publishers, the means to move into the digital space and remain effective.
Right.
And since then, you know, we've grown, as you said, you know, we have over 300 radio stations and podcasters using us in South Africa. We have 2,500 or more than 2,500 shows, 120 radio streams. And we had over 10 million unique South Africans on our platform last year from groups like Caxton, AME, Kahisa, that's got Jacaranda, East Coast, Media 24, Arena Holdings, which is Times Life, Business Days, Wetten, DSTV and MultiChoice. So, and then our large podcasts, so Gareth Cliff, Nicole Engelbrecht, Des Latham, It's a podcasting guild.
Two out of three of those are members, which is great.
Exactly. and it's such a wonderful initiative to get, you know, all these people. Hmm. And I think the the knowledge that they have to share for people that are starting out is just fantastic. So that's sort of the space we operate in, where we try to help people not worry about the technology aspect, get their content out to whoever wants to listen to it.
Right. And that's a laundry list of big media agencies. I mean, like the BBC, Cahiso, AME, like those are all, and those are all publishers that sell ad space, essentially, right? So they are who you're communicating with to, for brands, for example, let's say ASICS want to put an ad somewhere. Do they then go to Media 24, or who sells them? Do they come directly to you, or do they go through another agency?
We work through resellers. Currently have an agreement in South Africa with United Stations. That's part of the AME group. Through them, there's a number of other people that would sell ads and then book via them as well. And we do get people that approach us directly as well. But mostly, if you talk about those large media groups, you know, they work through agencies, and the agencies would work through a reseller who would then basically book the inventory with us.
Right. And in terms of the brands that are advertising on podcasts, right, are they, because those publishing companies work with massive companies like Pick and Pay and, you know, like huge retailers and all that kind of thing. Are the brands that are advertising in podcasts generally kind of small or SMEs, or does it go up to really large businesses too?
I'm quickly getting a brand sheet, but podcasting is still very much a leading technology. One of the nice things is if you look at the digital audio audience, they are affluent and they are well educated. So it's a great space for advertisers to be in. A lot of our ads are from financial institutions, just because you get a very high reward for conversions. So APSA, African Bank, Santam, Sanlam, Standard Bank, Alt Mutual, MyWay, Naked Investment, Investec, NetBank. You know, we've got the whole range of them running adverts, and been running adverts for a very long time. Then we have our global brands. So we've got ads from a lot of Netflix ads running at the moment, Disney, BMW, Shell, National Geographic, KFC, Burger King, Suzuki, Nissan, iStore. We have smaller brands, Woolworths, for example, Hirsch, Checkers, Reuters, SAB, Tuffy, Anglo-American, Peter Machlap runs quite a lot of campaigns with us, Mambo's. We have technology brands, Vodacom, MTN, Nokia, Yoko, Xnilo, and then also public brands like Ituba, Side Tourism. We had a number of COVID ads running during the lockdown. So it's a very wide range of advertisers that use us.
Yeah, that's massive.
And in a lot of cases, you know, these are advertisers that have been using us since the beginning. And booked, multiple, 8, 9, 10 campaigns with us to date.
Right. Okay. So given your access to all of that data and all of those podcasts and radio stations, are you able to separate all the international stuff, all the radio station stuff, and just talk about the numbers with podcasts, like privately run podcasts, essentially? I mean, also including maybe branded podcasts and that kind of thing.
Definitely. And this is what I focused for specifically for our talk. So if you look at our audiences, I would also say, so you've obviously got real-time audio streams, radio streams, and then you've got time-shifted audio, which is podcasts. But that could also include radio content, which has then been cut out and is being served as a podcast, which, you know, podcast peers would definitely say that's not a podcast.
Sure.
And then also you have media groups. So, you know, to compare a media group like Media 24 and their performance to, you know, or Arena, you know, Times Live to, you know, somebody that's doing a podcast, you know, at home is definitely not fair. So, so I try to focus, you know, and I'll share some of the group stats as well. Because to some extent, you know, if you talk about a smallish, you know, media a distributor, you know, with multiple podcasts, there are a lot of similarities to a really top podcaster that's, you know, just doing their own thing.
Right. Sure. The let's talk about the South African industry then as a whole before we dive into specifics. So as you see the podcasting industry, and this will be a combination of obviously your subjective opinion and the data you're seeing, like, where are we right now? If I look at America, they're obviously ahead in terms of complexity, scale, and element of their richness and their large population, right? And advertising models and all that kind of thing. It's frankly confusing to look at their landscape because it's so massive. where are we on our journey of podcasting becoming a channel that can stand next to radio and TV and digital marketing in general?
I think, especially talking about data, there's not a lot of data, but one of the studies which is quite well quoted is Edison's infinite dial. Mm. They did a 2019 measurement in South Africa. Now, what's useful about that is that I've been tracking America for many years, and it's running in numerous other countries as well. So you can actually get international data. Although, you know, like places like Canada and Germany and I think the UK. So not that useful in Africa. We're the one African country that they're tracking. When they looked at the data in 2019 and they compared the percentage of podcast listeners in South Africa with the United States, we were more than 10 years behind, about 11 years behind. When they did the study in 2022, 3 years later, we were about 5 years behind.
Okay.
So we're definitely picking up and gaining on established markets like the US. And of course, as you said, you know, there are big differences. You know, the audience is just massive in the US. So the guys right at the top get huge numbers, which is much more challenging if you're in a, you know, in a country like ours. Not that South Africa is one of the smallest countries. You know, 10 million digital audio listeners is not to be sneezed at.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're working off a much smaller and also a more diverse base. I think anecdotally, you know, my own experience is that there still is a lot of growth. And I think I've had a couple of conversations with podcasters and people involved in podcasting on the African continent. And a lot of them have said that South Africa is doing very well. It's well ahead. We're interesting, I'm smiling because maybe to some extent due to what we've done in that in South Africa, a lot of the large brands moved into podcasting relatively early.
Right. Because the technology access was there and the platform existed.
Exactly. And we were very actively promoting it, you know, as a switchover mechanism. It's interesting. Our first two big customers, UCD GSB was our first customer, and BBC was customer number three in South Africa. They signed up, started using our platform. But the first large group that started using us was the SABC, RSG, switched over right in the early days. They're not with us anymore. But yeah, it was quite forward thinking.
Right.
So I think in that sense, we have an interesting market and not a very sort of, you know, a lot of countries has gone more grassroots level. So we've got an interesting dynamic in the country around it. And I do think it's something that is, you know, it's continuing to grow and it will just get better and better.
Sure. Just on the using, repurposing radio for podcasts, right? And as you say, a lot of purists go, that's not real podcasting, which is fair enough. I feel a little bit that way. Do those shows perform? Do people go back and listen to kind of essentially archived radio conversations? I can understand it on Cape Talk where they, you know, a show where they cover it's essentially a live podcast, but I would, you know, I wouldn't go and watch like the Drive show 3 days later, right?
Yes. No, and it's interesting. There's some, so we have a lot of radio stations. Some of them do really well on their digital streaming and poorly on their podcast. Some of them are the other way around. It's about how well you produce it. So if you're just going to cut the Drive show out, you know, as a, you know, we had somebody uploading 4 hour shows as podcasts and, you know, getting sort of, you know, single digit downloads on those, as you can imagine.
Right.
But, you know, I mentioned earlier that we've had sort of spikes where you have podcasts that, or let's say digital, a time shifted digital audio that would get 60,000-70,000 listens in 2 days. And those are typically viral video content where there's an interview or something. And you have to realize that the challenge with radio is, you're only as good as your last show. Whereas with podcasting, you're as good as your best show ever.
Right.
So for radio stations, it's hugely beneficial to take the best content, interviews and things, because they do it in any case.
Yeah.
You may as well have a well-crafted show on the internet. Some of them are now going podcast first, where they would do a radio works on a clock. So, you know, something is 15 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, because everything has to fit into the commercial clock.
Right.
And that's also another huge constraint. So now radio stations are starting to do podcasts first where they tell the story as you would. And then they cut it down and they have a short version on the radio and they say, listen to the full thing, you know, on our podcast channel.
Okay.
And the other thing which we saw with Aris here is a radio station is constrained to 24 hours a day. They can't do more than that.
Mm.
And they also have to cater for a certain audience. So for radio stations, podcasts are very important if they've got a broader audience and they can reach niche sections of that.
Right. So I'm sure those hit interviews would be something like Andre de Reiter, ex-ESCOM, you know, someone interviews him, but you can't always be listening to your radio. Often you're not. And then, but that's an interesting enough story to go and find.
That's actually where we started with Iono, because our experience is in those days, it was really difficult to find podcasts in 2008.
Mm.
So you listen to the radio and pre-COVID, everybody still had to drive to work. I was in Somerset West.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our founder was in Constantia driving through to Stellenbosch every day.
Wow, yeah.
And, did the normal thing, and often work late, so you can't find people for business because nobody wants to get phoned 7 o'clock in the evening right. Or, when you drive in the morning. And you start listening to this really great show on the way home. And now, you're halfway through and you at home and you're hiding in the garage.
Yeah, you can't just sit in your car.
Kids, yeah, sit in the car and hope the wife and the kids don't find you.
Yeah.
Park outside.
Yeah.
And then if the wife does see you parked outside listening on the radio, what the hell are you doing?
So
it was just about as with PBR with video, having the luxury of listening to content when you want to.
Yeah.
And being able to pause it and re-listen it and share it with people. I think that's where it got started. And for me, if you look at advertising, doesn't really matter whether it's a podcast or a stream or, music. It's about an audio impression to a specific type of user
mm-hmm.
and whether they respond to that or not. So our advertising, and an advertising viewpoint, whether it's a stream or a podcast, it actually doesn't really, the audience looks different, but the mechanism is the same.
Sure.
But I do, as a podcast listener myself, there's something about a well-crafted podcast that is just something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
And for me, those are sort of the almost the storytelling element, because a lot of the podcasts, getting a couple of people and having an interview like this, it's not that far away from having somebody on radio. You can edit it afterwards, but it's a dynamic interaction. But I was listening to Cautionary Tales on the way here, which is one of my go-tos, and just if you listen to Noel and Carl Engelbrecht's true crime stuff, or Des Latham with his history podcast. That's such good content and so well crafted. Anyway.
Yeah, it almost feels like, when you read I've gone back to reading books, nonfiction books more often, because I know that someone has put a couple of years of research, of work into this. It's just going to be better because of the love it's been given.
There's a difference between a blog post versus a magazine article versus a book.
Right. Exactly. And I think the best versions of podcasts are like a book, in that they have depth and structure and a narrative and they're interesting and all that. And radio, they're just different mediums, it's an immediate medium and it's live,
it's immediate,
and there's interaction and all that stuff. Yeah.
And I'm not shooting down the interviews, they're a great podcast and there's a real craft to having a really good interview and sort of facilitating that process, which is also brilliant.
Yeah.
But
if you think of any ways that I can improve my interview technique, feel free to send us a comment on the WhatsApp group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move quickly along because I've got lots of questions.
Mm.
What is the address? Okay, you said the addressable podcast market in South Africa is currently about 10 million people.
So we had about 10 million digital audio listeners.
Right.
But that would be podcasts and streams. And as I said, we sort of don't distinguish too much between them. I saw a figure yesterday that the SA digital audio ad market is worth about 700 million a year,
mm-hmm.
but it's not nearly capitalized to its potential. And then if you look at a very high level, South Africa, we've got an extremely high cell phone penetration market. I think there's more than one cell phone per person in the country. Our data is becoming cheaper. We do have a very large, and we're not in one of the smallest countries in the world.
Mm.
So there's a decent addressable market.
Sure.
And this is just talking about South Africa. If you do really well, you can, of course, get international listens as well.
Sure. Just on that, are there any podcasts, South African podcasts, in your mind that are making it internationally, or are we like the music business?
One of my favorite podcasts actually left the platform because there's a guy called Dan Dews who makes the most amazing children's stories.
I spoke to him last week.
a very, very nice guy and a very competent guy. And one of my largest regrets is he never made it in South Africa. You know, he would get massive downloads from international and from the US.
Yeah.
And he since he left our platform and went for a Patreon and advertising-based model with an international platform just because, you know, he got better value there, which we completely encouraged. And I'm very glad, you know, and I hope that he does really well. But there are cases like that where somebody would do really well internationally. And we sort of always sad, you know, that the prophet that isn't recognized in his home, home city.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, what's his name? Sugarman.
Yes.
What's his real name now?
Yeah.
I don't think so it's not Carlos Santana. Let's move on.
Yes. before we embarrass ourselves.
Yeah. We know it's too late. So I did speak to Dan Dews, who lives now in the UK, I believe. And we're going to have a chat with him about Patreon because he is making that platform work. It's another way to monetize your show, of course. And he creates stories for kids, podcasts for kids, and they are often voiced by kids from around the world.
Kids by kids. That's his name.
Yeah. So it's a, it's a great idea. And there you can see, and I do feel like, this is another kind of side quest here, but when it comes to kids' podcasts, I feel like in South Africa, is anything going on there?
Not
or is there
the
a
moment.
Big gap in that audience?
I think there's a couple. Nali Bali is doing some stuff. And we still have some of Dan's stuff, I think. But and RSG used to, it was interesting, they did this series just when they started called Poen and Tukki. And Poen and Tukki remained on, and then they stopped it sort of shortly after moving over to us. They stopped doing it. So no new podcast. Poen and Tukki remained on the top 10 list for years still.
Right.
Because, you know, the children's market is just, you know, you, people talk about, you know, how many you know, downloads you know, Taylor Swift song gets. You know, if you want to see real numbers, go to Baby Shark and see what they've done.
Yeah, so
that's a market, although, you know, it's slightly more difficult to monetize, but you know, there's good monetization potential if you can reach them.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a market where you can get very high numbers and get them over and over. And
Sort
of listener numbers of, you know, an episode being listened 10, 15 times by the same listener, which you won't get anywhere else.
Yeah. In my son's case, 10 to 15,000 times if you're a YouTube channel with Blaze and the Monster Machines or something. Right. We've talked about the trajectory. It's growing. That's great. What are some of the roadblocks to overall listener growth in the country?
I think data is still a roadblock, and especially mobile data, but maybe not as big as people often think. We used to have, pre-COVID, we actually had a large, very low LSM data component that would use mobile data to listen to one or two episodes a week. And our on Iona, at least, our compression at that stage used to be about 7 megs per hour. We've increased it to 12. We've tried to balance the amount of complaints about quality with the complaints about data size. So 12 megs an hour nowadays is not that much to pay for something you want. But it's still, there's a perception and there's also sort of a data fear around it. And there's other platforms. I know Spotify has improved, but some of this stuff is still 87 megs per hour.
Sure. And when you open the app now, if you've got any data and there's a video podcast, it just starts streaming video onto your phone, you know? And that's, I can imagine how that causes a lot of anxiety.
So I think it's more about anxiety and fear of losing your data.
Sure.
Then, you know,
that there's going to be a background download and all that kind of thing. Right.
There are some stuff around ease of access. The market is still quite fragmented. And I think there's sort of pulling of listeners between large syndication platforms. So it's not always easy to know where to get something and get access to it. I think there's still, you know, the market is still developing. And I think there's still some listeners that could be obtained through compelling content, which just isn't available yet. I'd like to see, there's still way too many of English and Afrikaans podcasts on our platform in South Africa. There are other languages, but not that much. And one of the dreams, which and one of the other friend of mine that's sort of also influential in the space has, is having a podcast for every language, podcast for every language in Africa. So I think, but then your niche, becomes much more niche and your audience becomes smaller as well. Yeah. And then I think, you know, I'd love to see better monetization as well,
mm-hmm.
not just through advertising. Advertising, there's a lot of stuff that we are doing and working on improving. It's still something which sort of digital audio falls between traditional above the line, you know, radio, TV type, and then digital. And it's not quite either of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of education still around advertisers and agencies and people. Although fortunately nowadays, you know, we have more and more people approaching us saying, how do we advertise? Because we listen to this podcast, we know how it works.
Hmm.
You know, we just need to get access to the audience.
Right.
So that is changing.
Sure. And I hope that, you know, with the kind of a collaboration between the SAPG and Iona, we can make podcasters more aware of what their options are and brands and publishers more aware of what podcasts are out there.
Mm.
One of the things we're going to be doing is we've happily obtained the URL podcasts.co.za
oh, nice.
From someone who has been sitting on it for 12 years or something and got in touch and said, I'm not using this. If you guys are a nonprofit and you can use it for good, you can have it.
Well, that is quite brilliant.
It's great, right? So they've given it to us, and there we're going to be building the SAPG podcast charts and hopefully kind of a comprehensive database of podcasts in South Africa so that South Africans can just pop on there and find something if they want something homegrown, you know? So yeah, we'll...
In parallel, we're working at making it really easy for people to then start advertising on podcasts.
Right.
So, and I think definitely visibility and then ease of access are key things that still needs to improve. I'm very excited about the initiatives around ranking systems and improving the visibility.
Yeah, absolutely. New and noteworthy and all the kind of stuff that Apple already does, but it's just not relevant to South Africa.
Exactly. You
know? I mean, of course, South Africans listen to international shows. That's fine. But I do think that a lot of people would appreciate homegrown content. We do love
and
homegrown
think,
content.
And I think a lot of the platforms, it's not always clear how the ranking works.
Mm.
So it would be great if there's sort of a couple of clear metrics so that people understand what they see and what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's, Apple is completely opaque as to why, you know, someone
we
showed
have,
up.
We have seen, it is difficult because we have seen cases where, you know, somebody's, you know, ranked at number 4 and somebody else is ranked, you know, right at the bottom.
Hmm.
And we know the guy at the bottom is doing 20 times as many downloads because we can see it.
Right.
So it's not, you know, there are other rules in play as well. It's not just, you know, if you don't understand the measuring mechanism, then it's very difficult to really understand what you're getting.
Totally. Right. Okay. So let's see. Are there any genres that you see as a gap in the market? And besides, I think vernacular language is a massive thing, like just expanding more languages of podcasting in South Africa. But whether it's sport, obviously true crime we know is a high interest category, and you probably can't have enough podcasts in that world. But what do you think that the South African industry is lacking that people could make shows for?
I've got the 2023 top categories here. And our top category is business. So there's still a lot of... this is according to listens. Then current affairs, culture, society, those kind of things feature quite high. News. Then we've got true crime. Then we have sort of our radio type variety shows comes in. Religion, history, drama, family, sport. But sport is sort of sitting at 1.2% of the total downloads. And then
it feels
rest.
Like it could be bigger, right? Sport's massive
exactly.
in this country.
So if you look, and I just quickly got the US top category. So they actually have comedy right at the top.
Right.
We've got very little comedy content in South Africa. We're starting to get some really cool stuff now. But, you know, the numbers aren't showing that yet. I don't know if that's a cultural difference. Yeah, I'm always cautious to do direct comparisons because there are a lot of factors. But so they've got, you know, comedy, sports much higher. We are not getting as many educational podcasts in South Africa as I would like to see. So those are sort of the, you know, they've got more stuff around TV and film and music and things which features much higher up.
Right.
So I think there's actually sort of looking at this list, there's still a lot of area to expand,
yeah,
especially in terms of diversity.
Right. Awesome. And then which demographic, I suppose, is like who is the most obsessed with podcasters?
It is definitely more affluent listeners, but we do get a wide range, although it's difficult for us to, we don't get direct analytics on ethnicity or language, for example. We don't have a lot of, we do have a lot of content that is sort of broadcasted in English, but focused on another language group.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some diversity. The stuff I can give you, hard data, and it's also for the last 6 months, is about 61% of our audience in South Africa were female.
Mm-hmm.
So slightly, it's more female. Our age distribution is quite flat, you know, 18 to 24 at 9%, and then 25 to 34 at 20, 35 to 44 at 19, the next one 21, then 13, and then 15 above 65. So it's actually a very flat age curve. We've had, early last year, we had quite a lot of growth in our 18 to 24 year segment. But if you look at the last 6 months, the demographic that has grown the most is our 35 to 54 year old group. And they're also listening to the most content. So on average, but you know, this sort of, there aren't any very steep curves. It's sort of, you know, so it's pretty much balanced at the moment across the range.
And then I think this is kind of a random question, but if it's even answerable, is what is the average income of podcasters that have monetized? Like if you had to, you know, flatten to an average of all the people who do monetize for your platform.
I've looked at podcasters and like small groups, so excluding your large media groups,
mm-hmm.
excluding radio stations and large media groups. And looking at the last 6 months, you know, I would say your successful podcasters were getting around 10 to 20,000.
10,000 to 20,000 random
thousand. So round about that sort of, if you look at peer advertising.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's, we talked a little bit before we started chatting about, you know, monetization through advertising in your podcast is almost certainly not going to be your only income stream.
Definitely.
And there are very few businesses, if you think about it, that do that.
Name a radio station in South Africa that only exists through advertising, and none of them do. They all have other elements.
Yeah. They run marathons and they have live events and
cruises and,
oh, really?
And festivals.
What's that?
And I don't know if they still do. I must admit, I don't listen to radio that much anymore. When I still used to listen, you know, a number of them were like organizing cruises and a ship with people, and then you go and so. But multiple models where you look at various aspects.
Sure, absolutely. Okay,
there are people, you know. So if you look at the upper end, there are people that can make good money just from advertising,
mm-hmm.
but that's very, very few.
It's something that stuck with me. I can't remember whether you told this to me or someone else did, but they were describing how to make money with a podcast or the how hard it is, essentially. And they were saying making money with the podcast is like making money as a YouTuber, but harder, because discovery is worse unless you're also doing a vodcast version. And audio has certain limitations, and also, you know, those eccentricities lead to better content in their realm. But YouTubers can do product reviews much more easily than a podcaster can, for example, right?
Mm.
But it's because of the discovery issue and the fact that YouTube is just at huge scale and across the world, and it's been running for longer and all that kind of thing. Like, it's unrealistic to expect, oh, I've got a podcast, you know, in the next couple of years, I'm going to be making 50,000 rand a month profit from my ads.
Yes.
That's...
But there's another angle there, and that is... So, we're sort of talking about South Africa here at the moment.
Mm.
So now, consider how many content publishers are on YouTube.
Mm.
And what percentage of them are making decent money out of it, out of the whole.
Yeah.
We're working with a much smaller set. So yes, on a large platform like that, there are a couple of the 0.05% right at the top that are doing extremely well.
Mm.
And people often sort of get stuck looking at those.
Mm.
But yeah, you should be looking at, you know, what's a guy doing sort of, you know, similar numbers as you on YouTube getting, and it's going to be a lot lower, I think, than podcasting.
Sure.
I think we are going to talk about syndication later, but as with anything, it's very important to understand the value chain that you have, where's your money coming from, and retaining as much control of that as you can.
Right.
Some of the guys that are, this story about monetization, I've got later on, but I used to, and about various elements. And somebody asked, you know, is a CPM, or let's say a listener-based metrics, is it a good measure for podcasting? We can get to that, but I used to sort of, as a joke and a hyperbole, I have the example of, you know, let's say you've got a podcast audience of 10 listeners. How much is that worth? Probably not. Unless I tell you that, you know, 5 of them buy a new Lamborghini every year.
Sure.
And then suddenly it's worth a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is sort of just a thought experiment. And then while later, one of our podcasters launched a series not to sell Lamborghinis, mm-hmm. but to sell tractors.
Okay.
For a few thousand people that buy tractors
which
on a regular
basis. Which
are incredibly
expensive, right?
Exactly. And build a very viable business off that.
Yeah.
Using multiple components. So there's also, there's a difference, is sort of understanding how much is a lead worth and how do you do that. You know, it's not just about, so the question is, what is a podcast ad worth?
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 6 months, our average CPM or cost per thousand ads delivered was 500 and something. I think about 580, R8.
Rand per thousand.
Per thousand, wow. Which is a very good rate. That's a lot better than what you will get on YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of this was driven by people that has really seen how valuable podcast advertising is and are now paying more and more to get the content that makes a difference.
Right.
But that's still not a fraction of what you can get if you can generate the right type of leads, or you can, well, get a guy into a showroom, you know, to buy a tractor.
Yeah, when I spoke to Spike from DBO Media, he produced a show for BMW, and it's about technologies that people said were never going to become anything and then became predominant, like electric cars.
Mm.
And as you said, sell one BMW based on that show and it's paid for.
Exactly.
You know, sell two and you're making a profit. So yeah. Well, let's talk about CPMs though. This is kind of a little bit of an educational piece, I'm sure, for some people, of how advertising actually works, nuts and bolts. And the traditional method that most channels use is CPM, which means cost per mil, which
is the Latin for a thousand.
The Latin for a thousand. I mean, it's just
not per mile.
Yeah, exactly.
As the Americans would say.
So cost per thousand impressions, am I right?
Yes. And CPM just basically says cost per thousand of something.
Hmm.
The model that we use is per thousand ads delivered. So
right.
It can also be clicked through. Yeah, there's a couple of different. Some people will say to you, we only pay you for leads that actually materialize, so you get X per lead.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer to stick to the stuff that we can control, and we suggest the same to the podcast. So, you know, you can't determine the quality of an ad, you know, or whether it will resonate with a particular listener. So our obligation is to make sure an ad gets delivered to a human.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How they respond to that. We do track click-throughs, and we can talk about that under mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you're talking about, call it, you know, the equivalent of a thousand newsletters which are delivered to a person.
Right.
And then we can see whether they've actually opened and read it or not.
Right.
But our obligation is not to make sure that they read it, it's just to make sure it gets delivered.
So, okay, well, that's very interesting, because if a brand, for example, came to me and said, I want to advertise on your podcast, and I will give you 200 Rand for every sign up that I get on my website, which is kind of like an affiliate marketing model almost, right? Should I then say, as you said, I'm a publisher, essentially, I'm showing people stuff, that's my responsibility?
It's about managing risk and what you can control and what you can't.
Mm.
If I come to you and I've got a really bad ad or it's the wrong market, you can run it and lose all of that revenue, not get one single conversion.
Yeah, the opportunity cost of the space that you're giving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's almost easier to say, listen, I'll run the ad and that's what you pay. But keep in mind, we're not talking about the guy selling tractors. We're not talking about standard advertising type model where you're getting ads from various brands, and you're deciding to run that.
Yeah.
If you are in the business where you can evaluate that and you know that that ad is going to do really well, then you know, maybe you do want to take the per click, because you can get a lot more. And you can say, listen, I want whatever.
Sure.
200 rands per click.
Yes.
That's a lot of ads to deliver. And if you're sure that you can manage the risk around that, then it might be worthwhile to consider it.
Right, I see. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, if you're getting lots of engagements and conversions, then you can switch and say the actual value here is not impressions, but conversions. Exactly. And that's actually, in terms of the marketing funnel, that's a far more valuable metric than impressions, which are, you know, every time you swipe past an Instagram post, that's an impression. If it shows you a molecule of a pixel on the way up, you know, they're telling the advertiser, oh, they saw it.
Well, talking of, while you're mentioning that, we can just mention our analytics is based on the IAB's recommendation for audio measurement.
Mm-hmm.
So in our minds, a listen or an impression is basically firstly a human. We get about more than 60% of our traffic is from search bots and automatic programs trying to understand content on the internet.
Okay.
So all of that gets discarded.
Mm-hmm.
We then also do things like we roll up multiple connections from the same entity to listen to something. So quite often, you know, you lose your connectivity for a short period and reconnect. That's still one listen.
Right.
In actual fact, if you listen to a podcast, the metrics there is that you need to listen for more than a minute or pretty much the full length if it's shorter than a minute. So it's not just scrolling past on the website and, you know, getting one pixel. And then the other thing is if you return to that same podcast within 24 hours, it's still one listen.
Okay.
You're still busy with the same session.
The same episode, obviously.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and that's, I talk about downloads or your accesses, sessions per episode. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
If it's a stream, we cut it down to about 15 minutes. So if you haven't listened for 15 minutes, and 30, and you join again, then, you know, it's a new session, but it's within the same 15 minutes. It's still one session.
Right.
So that's one of getting back to why it's important to understand metrics, because these things can have quite a big bearing on the numbers.
Sure. Because I'll often listen to 15 minutes of a show, then I have to stop and go and do the shopping, get back in the car, and then I restart the same thing.
But if you think about it, you know, that's still one session.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And I think what we're trying to do is once more achieve that balance between advertisers, publishers, listeners, where everybody gets good value. So if you do go to an advertiser, they know what they're going to get and what value they should be deriving from that.
Right. And in the CPM model or the advertising model that you guys use, I imagine that in podcasts, there's a pre-roll, there's a mid-roll. This is the way generally, obviously there's lots of ways to do these things, but pre-roll, mid-roll, and then end-roll, which I imagine is very much the sad loser of the group, because when most people detect, oh, this is the end of the episode, they're kind of gone, right? But when it comes to listen through rates, or whether you've got a 70% or an 80% rate, is the mid-roll less valuable than the pre-roll, or is that kind of average?
A lot of people sort of think that the first mid-roll is quite valuable. So now I've started with the podcast and the guy's done the introductions and he says, but hang on a second.
I think I know what you're going
to
say.
And it's actually not, because to some extent, you're almost irritating your listener by forcing in an ad. And the research that I've seen and what we see on our platform as well is your pre-roll ad is actually incredibly popular. A couple of reasons for that, because if you're an R player, you know, firstly, you've just started engaging with the content. So you're not into it yet. If there's something you do want to respond to it, you know, you sort of should just get back to the episode. You're not in the middle of listening to an episode. If it is not a syndicated listen on iTunes, Spotify, etc., but on an Iono player, you know, on the publisher's website, their mobile app, whatever, there's also a banner that pops up.
Right.
And with a click through, which we track, and we also allow people to skip. So you can skip the ad, and that is very valuable to see how well your ad is doing on a particular channel.
Sure.
So we do that for all of the ads. getting back to your point, so the pre-roll is actually very, very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
People underestimate how valuable the post-roll is, because once more, that's your takeaway message.
Yeah.
So we have campaigns where they start with the pre-roll and then they close out with the post roll or at the end, because that's the other point where the listener is now going to decide, what do I do next?
Right.
So if you, for example, if you want them to click, go through a site, do something, then, you know,
but they're at the point where they finished doing a thing
exactly.
Anyway. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. That's
good.
But, cool.
You know, in practice, I know there's a lot of perceptions. Definitely the most valuable spot is your pre-roll slot.
Right. Okay, cool. So let's get into some hard tacks. We need one more definition, which is dynamic ad insertion.
Yes.
So tell me about what that is.
So let's start with baked in or traditional ads, where it started. And this is the, you've all heard it, you listen to a Radiolab episode. It's a go to Squarespace and use this code and you get 5% off. Now that is traditionally that's an ad that the podcaster would record in. So that's actually part of your content. It stays with that ad forever. It's nice because it's a low cost. It doesn't cost, there's no technology cost. I don't have to develop something or run extra processing power. And you can manage it yourself. You don't need a fancy platform. The disadvantage is, let's say you're now listening to Radiolab and you get an ad and it says, comes to Sears in Seattle. We have 25% off on this and this. It's not going to have any value to you. Yeah. So that ad goes out wherever that podcast goes.
Sure.
You can't target it. The other thing is if your advertiser stops paying you, you can't, you have to redo your episodes to right. take the ad out. And the other thing is you can't split it. You can't, for example, if you're getting, let's say you are fortunate enough to be getting 60,000 downloads a month, on your podcast show, you can't sell, 20,000 to one person and something else to somebody else. You buy the whole episode or you don't.
Right.
And then, of course, you can't 6 months later, you can't take out that ad programmatically and just replace it. So out of that, programmatic came. And that is where through software and computers, you dynamically insert ads into the content. Either it can be stitched in a player if it's your own player, or we physically take your podcast file and when an ad campaign runs and somebody requests it, we can see whether they should be getting ads, that demographic, and then we build an episode, or let's say on the next run, we build an episode that contains the ads for them. So now if you've got a programmatic solution, you can sell a campaign to somebody for 5,000 rands mm-hmm. to only run in the Western Cape between, let's say between 6 and 10 in the morning. Mm. You can, halfway through that campaign, and that ad will then run on any impression, on any episode that gets listened in the Western Cape.
Right.
And halfway through, you can just swap it out with another ad and it will immediately switch over to that with no effort to you.
Right.
So the advantages is that you've got much more flexibility. You can target it better. You also get better analytics. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to see where people skip ads and do things like that. The disadvantage is it's technically more complex and it does cost. So if you build on our platform, if you build your own ad in, you bake it in, costs you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you run it through our platform, we ask 18% of the sales price to
right.
cover the costs of providing that technology.
Sure. And In the scenario, for example, I've got a podcast here in South Africa, but I also have a sizable audience in the UK. Can you show different ads to both
Definitely.
Audiences?
So we were at one stage, we were running F&B ads on in South Africa on certain content and Standard Bank ads in North Sahara, Africa.
Oh, right.
So, and these other cool things, you can run multiple ads. So if somebody listens, so you can have two or three different versions
mm-hmm.
and we round robin between those and you can see which ads are doing better.
Okay,
in
so you can do ABC, you can do split
exactly.
testing and stuff. Okay.
Average
CPM you're saying is around 580 Rand, I believe you said.
That was in the last 6 months, that was our average CPM.
Mm-hmm.
It was driven by one or two campaigns where people have booked, that's a seventh and the eighth campaign and they knew that certain podcasts or certain channels were performing really well.
Right.
So they were willing to go up to 750 CPM to get the content that they really wanted.
So for reference, what is a radio CPM average if you know?
It's difficult to say because radio work on rate cards.
Mm-hmm.
So
of course.
So they'll because they have to sell everybody listening at that point. So but it's definitely a lot lower than this.
Yeah.
But then again, the numbers are often also quite high. But if you look at digital, this is a really high CPM.
Mm.
And even if you compare that to sort of other podcasting markets, if you look, this is for direct sales. So that's one of the things that Iona does is we're not just giving a programmatic type of audience. We actually, you are booking, in this case, this entity was booking on a couple of brands that he trusted.
Right, right. So someone's choosing to book on True Crime SA. with Nicole's show.
Exactly.
Right.
The other sort of, I know that, yeah, that other radio CPMs in South Africa, you radio type CPMs goes down to about 200 CPM.
Mm-hmm.
When the guys started, they actually sadly gave away their digital inventory for like 90 CPM, which is completely undervalued.
Right.
And we're very cautious as an industry in South Africa. Remember, our aim is for a content publisher to be able to operate in the digital space as they used to before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the things that we're very concerned about is ensuring that publishers get a good return on, or a good revenue percentage.
Sure.
If you're a large platform, you know, you run billions of ads, you can make a fraction of a cent on everyone and you're making good money. But if you're a podcaster and you only have, you know, 60 or 100,000 impressions a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, the difference between a 750 CPM and a 7 rand 50 CPM is massive.
Right. So once you start getting into a position where you are earning money through advertising, then the ways to increase that money is either to somehow prove that you can earn a higher CPM because mm-hmm. they're getting conversions, or to build your audience, obviously, because then you get more impressions, but then also frequency, right? You can put out more episodes.
Exactly.
So if you are making some cash, then it makes sense to, for example, outsource your research or get an editor to help you edit faster or something like that. So it's something to think about if you ever start making money through ads.
And then other mechanisms.
So, and the other mechanisms.
Yeah, very successful on Spotify as a music artist, you do a tour. And that's actually where you, even if you're Taylor Swift, you know, that's how you make your money.
Yeah.
So so then, you know, you start getting other deals. You do get to a point where you can work directly with brands and build relationships. And we have a couple of our podcasters that actually sell their own ads as well,
mm-hmm.
yeah, in conjunction to accepting ads from us, and look at lead generation mechanisms and other things. But it's also a business function, you know. Not everybody wants to do that or can do that.
Yeah.
And it's you often sit with a podcaster and they want to make good content. That's their passion.
Sure.
Sometimes, you know, if you're good enough, maybe you partner up, as you say, get somebody to do some of the donkey work for you,
mm-hmm.
and rather, yeah, get a smaller piece of a much larger pie.
Sure, absolutely. So this conversation is running to about 2 hours now. So Francois and I think it's a little bit better that we split it up into two parts. You've just finished part one, and part two will be posted again soon. So thanks for sticking with us, and we look forward to seeing you again in part two.